how much of this has been going on and for how long? I mean, it seems like there's every area of government where there's some kind of suppression or non-disclosure or secret. It seems like it's in everything.
Yeah, you know, President Eisenhower warned us about this, about the industrial complex. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, I used to think if somebody was relatively well-informed, if they, you know, read a couple newspapers, a couple weekly magazines, you know, kept pretty much on what was going on, that they knew about 5% of what was really going on. Today, I don't think they know anything. Absolutely nothing.
When you were flying planes, did you think, beyond your wildest dreams, that you'd be stumbling into information like this?
Never. Never. I thought, you know, in those days, you know, the SR-71 was the coolest thing. I knew guys that flew it. I was the first guy to find out, you know, where Groom Lake was and start talking about it, and I thought that was the top of the top. What's interesting is there's a group of SR-71 pilots that that get together every 2 years in Las Vegas here. They're called Roadrunners, and what they were the original Blackbird pilots after the CIA. Of course, you know, the CIA started the Blackbird program. There was 13 what they called articles, and those are single-place airplanes. When the Air Force found out about it, that the CIA was flying back Blackbirds, they went to the Pentagon and said, hey, this is not right. We're supposed to be the guys flying spy missions. So the Pentagon turned it over to the Air Force. They went to Lockheed. They made the YF-12A, which was proof of concept for the SR-71. They made three of them, and then they made about 34 SR-71s. The guys that got the CIA guys ran it until about 1967. So anything prior to that, this association is called Roadrunners, and they call before the Blue Suiters got into them, and they meet. And the reason I'm telling you this story, George, is because when they get together, here it is, 2006, they toast their drinks to each other saying, and we're still the fastest. Now, that airplane, let's see, it's 2006, that's 40, it's 46 years old. Can you imagine somebody thinking that that our technology hasn't improved in 46 years to go from Mach 0.32 to something else?
No, when everything else has, and you add one more year to it as we begin 2007, you're absolutely right. I mean, just look at how the computers have advanced in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, 40-some-year technology, no, there's no way.
So, you know, when I was flying and involved in that, I had no idea that I would ever stumble across anything like this. And then when I stumbled across it, you know, I met Bob Lazar, and whatever you think of Bob, you know, I believe he was there. I knew him for the 2 years, you know.
And you believe him?
Absolutely, totally, 110%. I went through that whole thing. It's just, you know, people say, oh, you just believed the story. No, I mean, he was the one that, you know, said, hey, John, they're going to test fly a saucer tomorrow night. Do you want to go see it? And me and Gene Huff and him and Bob's wife drove out there, and there is a flying saucer. And, you know, I had it in my Celestron 8 telescope, and I saw it. And so they say, well, you know, maybe he was just a cook up at Groom Lake. And I said, well, if he was just a cook, then they tell the cooks when the flying saucers are going to be tested.
Yeah, exactly. And you're saying these launches to the moon are done at the South Pole?
I believe so, yeah, because if you Google Antarctica cargo, you will see a tremendous amount of traffic going into McMurdo and the other bases around there, a tremendous amount.
And I would guess launches from there would remain relatively secret.
Well, absolutely. And since they're anti-grav, they don't make any noise. I mean, they just head up to the moon. I doubt if it takes more than an hour to get there.
Are you telling me these things travel that fast?
Oh, absolutely. They're anti-grav.
My God. You mean once they get out of the atmosphere? Or from the get-go? Are they that fast from the get-go? What kind of G-force would be on somebody?
None, because the it's anti-gravity. You're carrying your own gravity with you.
So there's no G's at all?
Absolutely not.
That is just like warp drive, and off they go.
Off they go, and there's a tremendous story on AboveTopSecret.com. There's a guy that posts there, and you talk about a guy that has been around the universe. His name is Sleeper, and it sounds crazy, but I believe this guy has been there and done that. And he has a blog. You go to AboveTopSecret.com and find Sleeper and find his blog and read what this guy has to say. It's just fascinating.
He knows too much, doesn't he?
Well, he knows a lot, and I just love to read the guy. He grew up in Italy. He eventually went into the Army, and the stories he tells about the Army taking him to, you know, to these saucers and turning him over and walking down these plywood corridors and going off for a month or two are just, I mean, I believe it.
We are starting to get some incredible UFO reports lately, John, by really credible people, you know, pilots again, military people. What do you think's going on? Why these sightings again? I mean, are we just in another flap, a UFO flap, or is there something else afoot?
Probably something else afoot. I think those are our guys. I mean, we've had some fantastic vehicles, not as good as the aliens, but, you know, we do pretty good. All those black triangles are ours. They're not aliens. They're made down at Lockheed. They travel around. This big thing at O'Hare, you know, that's probably us going out there, you know, for some reason, and I don't know what it is, probably to take our mind off Iraq.
That's an interesting thought. I've always believed those were ours. As a matter of fact, I know an editor for aviation magazine who is sure that those triangular objects are ours. Now, I don't know if they were reverse engineered, but he says what's flying around now is ours, and he says they're always by a military base.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of new secret bases. There's one in the middle of the Nevada test site. It's not technically Area 51. It's 35 miles west-northwest called Sandia. And it has three runways. They test a lot of things out of there. There's another one up by just to the south of Wendover, to the southeast of Elko. As a matter of fact, there was an article in the Review Journal, Las Vegas Review Journal, in January. Now, I had known about this one particular secret base that was just to the west of Dugway. We followed its progress and everything. It was kind of interesting. I had a friend who went deer hunting, and he was the one that originally found it. So we watched it for a couple of years, and then January of this year, Las Vegas Review Journal ran a story that the military was asking for a third large restricted area over Nevada. Now there's the Nevada test site restricted area. There's the one up at Fallon. And then they wanted a third one. Guess where the third one was? Yeah. Right over this area that's just to the south of Wendover. So, you know, I took it to my friends. I said, hey, looky here. They're putting a restricted area right over this secret base.